So when me and Mahira were planning the service, and we knew it was a family service,
we wanted to keep our talk short and engaging.
So we thought, to really stick ourselves to that, we're going to do a five-minute talk each.
But if either of us go over 5 minutes,
at the end of the service, we get pied in the face.
Real motivation.
I was asking the young people. I'll put the message out to them on WhatsApp. I was like, who would like to pie me and Mahila in the face?
Becca and Kiki came back instantly saying they're interested.
Girls, would you like to come up and make the pies now?
Hope you can, girls.
Actually, you can make it, mate. You can make one.
Oh, that's kind.
I'll have that one.
Okay. Well done, girls.
Right, you can sit that down again.
Well done. You can tell they're looking forward to this.
You can tell they're looking forward to this potentially.
So the way it's going to work, I'm going to say go, the AV team are going to time us.
And then at the end, they will announce the scores.
AV team, are we ready?
Here we go. Three, two, one, go.
Do you ever feel lonely?
Like you just don't belong?
Maybe you see lots of people every day at school.
Or at work, but still don't really feel understood by anyone.
I remember when I was at school, I tried so hard to fit in.
With the way I talked, the way I dressed, the things I did.
Because I was so desperate to be accepted.
But even with all this, I could feel pretty alone at times.
I think this is potentially where we find our main character is at in the passage.
Matthew had no chance of fitting in or being accepted by anyone.
And he very likely felt lost and alone.
You see, Matthew was a tax collector.
Therefore, his job was to collect money from the Jews and give it to the Roman rulers.
Tax collectors were also known to demand more money than what was actually owed. And they would often keep a part of it for themselves.
Making it impossible at times for the Jews to pay off their debts.
So you can start to see a picture of how Matthew would have been really hated amongst his own people, being a Jew himself. But the thing is, Romans hated Jews. So we find Matthew in a passage where he potentially would be feeling like he didn't fit in anywhere. Like he'd be feeling very alone, very lost, and maybe even quite ashamed. Does anyone ever relate to any of those feelings? However, this is where Jesus comes into the story. In verse 9, right at the start of the passage, it says, Jesus saw Matthew at the tax collector's booth and said, "Follow me." That was it. He didn't say, "Matthew, you are a sinful man." He didn't say, ask Matthew why he'd become a tax collector and betrayed his people. He didn't even at this stage say, "Matthew, you must repent." He simply invited him to follow. He invited him into a new life. And this is the bit I really love. It says, Matthew got up and followed. Simple as that. He laid everything he had down, left it all behind, and went with Jesus. And I think it's important to keep in mind, Matthew probably would have been very wealthy being a tax collector. But he knew in that moment that all of his money was nothing in comparison to a life with Jesus. It's incredible when you think about it. Matthew had been living his life as a tax collector day in, day out. This is what he knew. This was his reality. And yet Jesus walked into his life and everything changed instantly. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 39, it says, "Whoever finds their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." And boy, did Matthew find his new life in Jesus that day. This can be a similar story for us. Jesus is calling out to you and saying, "Will you follow me? Will you be a part of my family?" But we as humans, we carry a lot of baggage. Maybe we think we're not good enough. Maybe we think we're not smart enough. Maybe we think we're not good looking enough or righteous enough. The list can go on. But God looks beyond that. God loves each of you, and he designed each of you to be the very person you are. And he simply asks you the question, will you follow me? Will you be brave enough to lay everything down and be my friend? I think it's also important to mention that when Jesus called Matthew, he didn't go, Matthew must be really good with numbers and money being a tax collector, so he will be an excellent addition to be part of one of my disciples. No. Jesus called Matthew simply because Matthew was available to follow and because Jesus loved him. That's the key part. He chose Matthew not because of his ability, but because of his availability. For all Matthew's flaws, for all Matthew's skills, Jesus chose him simply because he loved him. And here's the key part. Jesus asked, Matthew accepted. I think we often can think we need to be really perfect or really gifted to follow and serve Jesus, that we need to be sorted. But this just isn't the case. He just wants an open heart to him. If Jesus walked through those doors right now, called out your name and said, "Would you follow me?" Would you get up and go straight away like Matthew? Or would you be too ashamed or too stuck in your own worries to get out of your seat? We have a loving God, not one who condemns us. Maybe it's time to say yes to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that all those years ago when you called Matthew, he was brave enough to say yes to you and be all in. Lord, you are calling each of us. May we be brave enough to say yes to you, Lord. May we come into a relationship with you and say, "I am all in for you." In Jesus' name, amen. Stop the timer. We'll see. I think that was pretty tight. That's pretty tight. But anyway, okay. All right, we've got another.
It's awesome. Okay, it's me next. Okay. Everyone catch your breath. Okay. I'm not the fittest of people. Okay. Oops. AV team, how are we doing? We're good? Okay. Okay, I do not want to get pied at all. Okay. Right, 3, 2, 1, go. All right, guys, I wonder what you look for in a friend. Is it somebody who's honest? Somebody you can trust? Somebody you can rely on? Somebody who's kind? I think most of us would say that we look for a friend to be like this. Well, in our Bible story, people like Matthew and the other tax collectors and sinners weren't always honest and trustworthy. And so people didn't want to be their friend. But then we have Jesus, a friend like no other, special, God's own son and God himself. He befriended Matthew even though he knew all of his mistakes and that he wasn't perfect. Because he loved Matthew and Matthew's open heart. Then we hear about this dinner party, and this gets me excited because I love food. We have Jesus there, his followers, and other tax collectors and people they call sinners, people who had messy lives. I think we can relate. And guess what? Jesus was happy to be around them. Now, let's go to the dinner scene for a moment. Picture it in your head. You've got lights, say. You've got Jesus there with all those people. Amazing food, maybe a roast chicken, some chicken nuggets, nut roast if you're a veggie or vegan, I don't know. Some fizzy drinks. I would have a Fanta. Nathan would have a Coke. Lemonade, okay, there you go. Some squash maybe, you know, drink of choice. There's laughter, there's jokes flying around. But more importantly, those people like Matthew, other tax collectors, all those people who had a messy life, they were now befriended. They were looked at in the eyes. They were smiled at. They were hugged. They were made to feel loved by Jesus, the Savior of the world. And they just couldn't help but become new people. How do you think they felt around Jesus? They would have felt so happy and hopeful and accepted and loved for the first time maybe in their life. And it's likely that a lot of these people would have had really broken lives. They would have been lonely, like we heard about Matthew, and they would have been lost. But Jesus defended them. Even when the Pharisees, these religious leaders, came and said to Jesus, "Why are you eating with these yucky people?" He defended them. He stood up for them like a good friend would. And he put love and forgiveness at the center of everything that he did. And I wonder if there's somebody in your life, maybe in your school or in your work or at home, maybe a sibling, who needs love and forgiveness. Somebody who needs a friend. There might be somebody who's really quiet or somebody who isn't always even nice to you. Jesus might be calling you to befriend somebody like that today. And I wonder too about yourself. Do you sometimes feel lonely? Hurt, lost? Do you sometimes feel ashamed of the mistakes you make? Well, the good news is that Jesus still wants to be your friend, even though you're not perfect. Just like he was there at the dinner table, he's here with us right now, and he is just open to us. He's waiting for us. Do you need Jesus to be your friend today? All you have to do is open your heart to him and let him take you in. Because no matter what you've done or how imperfect you may feel, he loves you and he wants to stick with you through the good and the bad. He is the friend of the imperfect. Jesus lived on this earth 2,000 years ago and he forgave many people like Matthew. He healed bodies. He healed minds, and he did much more. He died on the cross to pay for all of our wrongdoings once and for all. And the good news is that he didn't stay dead. He came back to life. And now we have this amazing chance to become friends with him and to have him as our friend forever. He is alive. All you have to do is just put your trust in him and just open your heart to him. Could we have the band just to twinkle? Is that okay? Yeah? Oh, that stop, please. Sorry, I forgot to say that. Oops. Oopsie. Anything. Just something twinkly. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. Okay. Right. We're going to have a bit of time of a response now. This is just between you and God. I just want to give anybody an opportunity who wants to make that decision and say yes to Jesus, whether for the first time or yet again. I can promise you it's the best decision I've ever made in my entire life. It is the best decision you can ever make. And it won't make life easy, but it is the best decision. So if you want to say yes to Jesus, pray this with me in your heart. Dear God, thank you for loving me so much that you send your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for all the things I have done wrong. Please forgive me for the wrong things I have done and wash my heart clean inside. I want to be best friends with you forever and ever. Come and fill me with your Holy Spirit, and please show me how to listen and follow you every day. Amen. If you pray that for the first time, then welcome into God's family. We've got a prayer team who will be at the front over here, who would love to pray with you. It's really, really important to tell someone, either Nathan and I, or just tell somebody, because that would be really good. Okay, I've been told to hurry up, I think. No, I haven't. Okay. just for the rest of the church, I just wanted to say, I want to just give you these words of Jesus. You know, we are his imperfect church, aren't we? His imperfect people. But he says this to us anyway. This is from Revelation 3:20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and day with me. Let Jesus be your friend. He will never ever leave you, and he cannot be pushed away by any of your imperfections. He loves you. Amen.